next Sunday, some of us won't be here. It's what they call Decoration Day in the British Legion in Newton Abbot, and we have a special celebration at the cemetery. And as chaplain, of course, I lead that, so won't be here. But you'll be in the good hands of Stephen and of Julie. And but forgive us for not being here. But in the cemetery in Newton Abbot, there are quite a few graves of Canadians who were fighting for us in the war. And in Canada, at the same time as we meet in Newton, they've got some of our graves over there. And so we're both celebrating at the same time. In Newton, it's certainly a big celebration, and loads of branches all bring their colours, and it's a big thing. Usually the MP for Newton Abbot attends. She always attends, I think. So it's a good time, but it could be my last one. I don't know. I said I'd finish, is it 10 years, I think, as chaplain, which may be the following year. But there's someone ready to take my place already. So there we are. Anyway, now, being serious, Pentecost, over to Julie.
Oh. Wow. Well, happy birthday, church. This is where it all began, when the Holy Spirit came. So with real celebration this morning. And I'm going to pray in a minute. But the first song we're going to sing is They Were Gathered in an Upper Chamber. And this was chosen by Brian. And it's so beautifully long that we're just doing the one to start with. But it's a great song. And I'm told that it's an Ealing Pentecostal hymn. Is that right? Or chorus? Yeah. Yes, it's in Northern Ireland, isn't it? So it's a great song, but let's come to the Lord in prayer before we begin. So, Lord, I want to particularly thank you for being here, as I was quite unwell in the night. But, Lord, I prayed and said I needed to be here, and here I am. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to worship with our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we remember this wonderful day when you sent the Holy Spirit to your disciples, and then it went out to all of us as we've received you. So Jesus, we come here to worship you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us on our own, but you sent your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So they were gathered in an upper chamber. If you can stand, it really would be good to stand for this. No, all of it. No, what I said was, okay, there's been a misunderstanding. We're only singing one. Normally we do two before the prayers, but because it's long, we're doing just the one song. Yeah? Sorry, didn't explain that well. Okay. Of the Lord,
And now let us come to our Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. We come to thank you, O Father, for sending your Spirit. We thank you for the way the Spirit came upon the apostles in a new way. And we thank you for the way that the Spirit comes among all who believe today. Father, may we know the presence and the movement of the Spirit in our church here, both now today and in the coming future. Give us courage, Lord, that we may not fear the tongues of flame. Let all that is unworthy, impure, sinful, be burnt from our lives. May we know that it is love that burns as bright and love that strips away our sin. Holy Spirit, we pray for the church. We pray for the unity of all people. May your presence draw us close together, that we may be one in truth and love. We pray for those who are young in the faith. May they continue to give nourished. May they continue to grow nourished by your gifts of grace. We pray for all people in need. And we would remember today Rita's granddaughter. We pray for her, and we pray for the friendly surgeon that has agreed to take the operation. Be with them both, Lord, we pray. We pray for Stuart. We pray for Jean, whose car wouldn't start this morning. She's with us in spirit, but not actually here. Lord, we pray that all people with all needs might come to you and put their trust in you. We pray for the witness of your people. May the word reach others and awaken faith and commitment. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. May they be comforted and upheld in the hour of trial. Spirit of God, stir up your love among your people in every part of the world. In the name of Jesus, we bring these prayers to you this morning. Amen.
Going to sing, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." And we're reminded that his power is moving in this place. And of course, the last time we sung this all together would have been Stephen and Rachel's wedding. So it's good to have a reason to sing it.
Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now, with reverence and fear. The is mine, we stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord upon me. It's here. Sing for the glory of the Lord, it shall be over. The splendor in the sky. Our radiant King on high, in his temple the glory of the Lord, we shine forth. He still for the power of the Lord, his living thing.
Now over to Stephen for the reading.
The reading, as you might guess, is from Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Somehow they made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen.
we're going to continue our worship with Spirit of Holiness, Wisdom and Faithfulness.
Strength of our serving, joy of our worship, Spirit of God, bring your fullness to me. To interpret and teach us effectively all that to say. Of holiness, wisdom and faithfulness, wind of the Lord, blowing strongly and free, strength of our serving and joy of our worship, series of God, bring your fullness to
Celebrate Pentecost. Surely we should. We should celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit in a new, powerful, and wonderful way. Yes, it's true. The Spirit was available from the very beginning. The Spirit was involved, we read, in the creation. The Spirit was involved in many things throughout Scripture. But what a wonderful day when the disciples, the apostles, met together as they were told to do. And to their surprise, I'm quite sure, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts 2, verse 4, all of them, all that had come were full of the Spirit. I've got four thoughts to share with you this morning. The first one is the consequences of being filled. What are the consequences of us being filled with the Spirit? Well, first, a Spirit-filled fellowship is one where members encourage one another in worship and in praise. The same note is heard in some of the Psalms. For instance, Psalm 34, verse 3, glory the Lord with me. Let us all exalt his name together. So first, a spirit-filled fellowship is one where members encourage one another in worship and praise. Secondly, worship will be directed to the Lord. The way we sing and even the expressions on our face will show how real the Lord is really to us. A reporter who attended one communion service wrote in his paper afterwards, "There was in the face of the worshippers an uninhibited pleasure in the act of worship. There was a look that compels even the cynical observer to reach for the old-fashioned words like radiance and joy." There should be joy, isn't there, if we're full of the Spirit. Thirdly, there will be thanksgiving that expresses our trust in God in every situation. You know, grumbling is a sign of our times. But in contrast with the Spirit upon us, we should be filled with real thankfulness. Some people have taken verse 20, "The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." Some people have meant that to mean that we should thank God for evil and accidents. This, I believe, of course, is ridiculous, if not even blasphemous. What we are is to thank God for his control of every situation. Fourthly, we are to submit to one another. In other words, our relationship must be right. Our relationship together. If they are not, then the fellowship collapses. Our worship is meaningless, and our thanksgiving, let's be honest, is hollow. So, these are the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. There must be unity. There must be joy. There must be love. There must be enthusiasm. Number two, what being filled is not. What being filled is not. The fullness of the Spirit is not an optional extra. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. We are to be people who in our lives are affected by the movement and the power of the Spirit. It's not a license for doing your own thing. Some people, unfortunately, who claim to be filled with the Spirit become very independent. And they'll be saying, "The Lord told me this." But, you know, God wants us to be united in love. And then he can fill us corporately, not just individually. This will be more effective, I say, than having a few spiritual-filled, independent Christians. The church, the fellowship, we need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not just a separate thing. It's not a license for doing our own thing. Also, it is not spiritual superiority. Because we know the Spirit and the Spirit works in us, if that is so, then it only happens, my friends, as we yield our lives in every part to Jesus as Lord. And it's not a once and for all experience. We need constant filling, or otherwise we will dry up. And you know, I probably told you before that because I personally feel the need for the Spirit to be in charge of my ministry. Because of that, one of my daily prayers is always, may I be empty of self and full of the Spirit. We need constant filling, because otherwise we dry up. Next one. It's not a matter of feelings, but it's a matter of faith in God's word. Jesus promised that the Father would give the Spirit to those who asked him. Perhaps we've never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps we have been filled in the past, but now feel dry. Or else we have found the results painful and so drew back in our commitment to our Lord. Or in our openness to other Christians. We need to be filled. If we are truly filled, then, my friends, there will be true love and unity with us. If we hurt each other, we know that we will find forgiveness. Two conditions. Repent of anything that we know is wrong and ask for forgiveness in faith. Now I want to come to a third point, which is spiritual gifts. Every church and every church member should be enjoying spiritual gifts. Surely if they're not, there's something wrong. There is no sharp distinction between natural and spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, they all come from and can be used of God for the good through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, spiritual gifts, sad this is, can be misused. But we suggest that the answer to misuse is not disuse, but the right use of the gift that God gives us. If we are to ponder these truths about spiritual gifts, you know, there are different ways of serving Jesus and his body, the church. There are different ways in which God works in and through his church. Living moments of Christ's body, as someone has said, living moments in God's church. Someone has once said, God has a gift for every member of his church, but he will not give it to you or show you what it is unless you ask him and want the gift. If we do not use the gift we're given, you know, we're making God sad and we are robbing others of the blessing that he could give to others through the gifts that have been given to us. Gifts are always, this is important, gifts are always only for using to glorify Jesus and to build up his church. So, if we are willing to use the gift that God has given us, however humble it is, we may find that God has other gifts and other ministries in store for us. In other words, God gives us a gift, we truly use it in his service, then God may feel that he can continue to use us in other ways in his service. And then spiritual gifts, I want to come to spiritual fruit. In one sense, everything good in our lives, all our feelings of joy our promptings to be kind, all this come from the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, without the Holy Spirit's activity in the world, there wouldn't be any positive good in any of us. We need to be available to God. But you know, being influenced by the Spirit in a general way is not the same as being filled and changed by the Spirit. So then, when the Holy Spirit is actively living in us, then we will be kind. Yeah, kind even when it doesn't come naturally. And joyful even when the going is tough. When we are able to offer God praise and worship in situations which wouldn't normally produce those reactions, then surely we can be assured that the Spirit is filling us and is producing His supernatural fruit in our lives. So, praise God for the fruit of the Spirit, which is, of course, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm sure I've said this before, it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. In other words, if we have the fruit of the Spirit, that means we have all of those things. Let me share with you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And isn't it good that we have a God who understands our failings and forgives us? You know, when I look at those, it's all part of one fruit, and it should all be shown in my life, and it should all be shown in your life. One of them is patience. And I have to confess, I've never felt that very easy. But with the power of the Spirit, we are told, and if we put it to the test, we can achieve it. We can show in our lives the whole fruit of the Spirit. And when we do that, believe you me, other people are going to look to us. They're going to see the Spirit working in us. And there's chance then, of course, that they will want to know more about our Saviour. As Christians, we can be moody, too easily controlled by our natural feelings. But, when the Holy Spirit helps us to act spiritually rather than physically or emotionally, then others will be able to see the reality of Jesus through us. What a wonderful witness. Oh, my friends, let us thank God for sending the Spirit. Let us thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Let us thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. Let us thank God for the gift of salvation. That's where it all begins for us, isn't it? And the Spirit of God, the Spirit that comes in great power, needs to be very prominent in our lives. May we as a church, not just as individuals, may we as a church be sure that the Spirit moves upon us in a free and a wonderful way. The Spirit is not dead. Sometimes I think the church is, but, you know, we want to be alive in the Spirit, don't we, my friends? May the Spirit continue to work among us, and to His glory Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. So we're going to sing three songs in a row. So we're going to start with Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We already have received the Holy Spirit, but we welcome the Holy Spirit every day as being part of us. So we're going to start with that one. Then we're going to re-sing on Easter Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. When did we do it? No. Anyway, when a couple of weeks ago we did Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing. And as I'd chosen it for that week, I realized how much it also talked about the Holy Spirit. So Bruce and Eunice kindly said I could sneak another one in. So that was great. but do look at the words as you sing, because they're all written with such meaning. And then we're going to finish with all over the world, the Spirit is moving. And at this point, we say good morning to Richard in Malaga in a Pentecostal church somewhere. So we'll start with Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
to be great. I'm so undivided. I'm on the stage. Of the spirit, we turn to Christ, something of fear and pain. What will have done what have to me? What will be done Church, we seek our Father's blessing.
as the prophet said it would be.
of the glory of the Lord. As the waters
Lord, help us each one as individuals, but equally as a church. May we be united in the faith. May we be empty of self and full of the Spirit. And may it all be for the glory of our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.